interesting story that I want to point you to this morning. It's part of our continuing series entitled Dreams of Destiny. There's a man by the name of Jacob who was father to Joseph, who has been our lead character throughout our series. The story originates in Genesis 37. We're nearing its conclusion at Genesis 50. It's been a long sojourn. This is week 10. And I want to point you to Jacob for a moment. We did a few weeks ago from this angle that when Jacob, the father of Joseph, had a pressure point within his life, he began to revert back to some of the things that he was especially known for: preferential treatment, deception, short-cutting process. Now he stands as one that he has just gotten news that he's going to be reunited with his son Joseph. They haven't seen each other for about 22 years. Joseph sold into slavery at 17. Now Joseph is nearing 40 years old. He's the prime minister of all of Egypt. He's the one that is giving all of the grain. He is the one that has masterminded a plan so that all of Egypt and the greater world is able to survive after 7 years of plenty, now ensuing 7 years of famine. They're 2 years deep into that second seven. Joseph finally reveals to his brothers, as they are some of the ones that come to get grain, that he is their brother. In this astounding revelation, he tells them, but listen, don't worry. What you intended for harm, and you intended it for harm. In fact, let's call it as it is. It was evil what you did to me. God allowed for the saving of many lives. As you bow down before me, you're some of the saving of the lives that God wanted to establish. His grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. But go back and tell your father, my father, that I'm alive and well, and I'm second in charge of all of Egypt. Go get him and tell him that while he is trying to figure out how to survive, how to navigate the crossroads with which he finds his life, tell him to come into this area. I'm going to settle him in Goshen. It's a northeast region of this fertile land and the river delta outside of the Nile, with the mouth of the Nile. But it's near where my dad is in Canaan. It's between where we are now, standing here in Egypt and that land of Canaan. But go get him and tell him his only means of survival, and I want to be reunited to him, is to bring him into that land of Goshen, that land of plenty, that land where the culture of Egypt will not saturate our lives. But I need you to go get him. We need to be reunited. But there's a problem with this. The problem is that at this point in time, Jacob is 130 years old. Now please lean in on this. These are not dog years. We have seen throughout the last thousands of years, most scholars would suggest that because of the ravages of sin, even scientists would suggest it, the aspect of the way that our futility, our frailty, our humanity has set in, definitely theologians would concur, that our life expectancy has changed because of the advances of sin over our lives. How many of you would agree with that? Well, listen, 130 years was a literal 130 years. Now, come on, some of you want to live a long time, but you don't want to live 130 years. Come on, you know what, you know, things like start to fall off at 130 years. Jacob gets word, please hear me on this. Jacob gets word not that Joseph is going to come to him. He gets word that he's supposed to go to Joseph. There's a big difference. You're 130 years old, you want people to visit you. Right, you got to leave the assisted living place to be able to go somewhere else. That's not ideal. That's not optimal circumstances. And Jacob has a decision to make, and he is one that would constantly vacillate between his old nature and the one that was divinely granted to him. Jacob's name literally meant deceiver, and oh, he walked in that as a young man. He began to cut corners, and then when he's pressured later on in a curve of the story that we've looked at in the last couple of years, at 120 years plus, he goes back to that same ideology. Even though there was a point in his life where he literally wrestles with an angel of the Lord, and in that the scripture says that he wrestled and he won, he was victorious, thereby bringing a name change and a nature change of Jacob deceiver, dead, new creation. We've been singing it this morning about his mercies and the fact that we are now new creations, a new name in that there will be now be Israel, which will be father or father of the nations. But Jacob has a decision to make at 130 years old. Hey, I want to see my son, but I got to go to him. Why can't he come to me? He's got like chariots and stuff. He's going to send for me with chariots. Couldn't he have been in one of the chariots and come get me? Joseph sends for him because he wants there to be this aspect of, and God wants it within our lives as well. He wants us to stop carrying water. He wants us to go to the supply. And there are certain places in your life you are weary, you are tired, you are striving, and God wants to carry you more than you have to keep carrying the burdens that are before you. Anybody with me this morning? And there are certain places in your life that you might be a student, you might be persecuted for your faith at school. You might be a student and you're trying to figure out who's going to be your mate. You might be a student and you're trying to figure out where to go to school. You might be leveraging your career and you're trying to figure out how to get ahead and stratify your career path. There might be some of you in your relationships trying to figure that out. And God is not wanting you to keep carrying that. He wants to carry you to where the supply is. God wants you to go to the Goshens of your life and stop thinking that the blessing is going to come to you and you just kind of just stand there and receive it. God wants you to go to those places, because otherwise if he keeps carrying to you, it's a trickle. But if you go to where the supply is, it's a never-ending reservoir over your life. And God wants that. When in fact, Jesus would later come, John 10:10 bears this out, that now that if you have him in you, streams of living water will flow out, for he has given us life, and the scripture says more abundantly, or one rendering says in life to the full, to the fullest, to the maximum capacity. You and I live way below our capacity to receive him. And not just under holiness, we've been singing about that as well this morning. Not just under purity. Not just to try to do the right things and to stay in line and not get out of line. But God wants to establish something of glory and of gain and of goodness and of joy and of life within you. I don't remember the old chorus that said, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Anybody? Anyone? Makes the lame too. No? No one? No one? Blind? Debbie, I know you know this song. Come on. We'll sing a duet, me and Debbie, on that song. Okay. That's a good song. Look it up. It's probably from the 70s, but... Listen, God wants to establish in your life a wellspring, a reservoir. And some of you are going to him, but then you want him to keep coming to you with this trickle, and you're content with the trickle, but it's not transformative, it's not life-changing. God wants you to go where the river is running and where the supply is, to drink deeply of where he is. Watch this. There are too many times we are wanting him to come to where we are rather than for us to go to where he is. Come on, let's just say it this way. We need to stop doing certain things and asking God to bless it. We need to go where he's already blessing. Come on, somebody. So this morning, I'm going to lead you to that end as we look at Genesis 46. I'll reference 47, but I want us to see two parts of the narrative in Genesis 46. Are y'all with me this morning? All right, here we go. Genesis 46. I'm going to read just four verses, and I'll tell you where it continues to transition from there. Watch this. Genesis 46, verses 1 to 4. So, Israel, who is that? Who's Israel here? I'm sorry. Jacob, the father of Joseph, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. This is after he's being sent for by Joseph. It's immediately after he's being sent. He doesn't want to go. He's 130 years old. Can't you come to me? But God tells him, based upon that directive, go ahead and go. And then he speaks to him. Verse 2 helps us with this. Speaks to him in visions of the night. Another way to say it is in his dreams. He has these divine dreams. And he calls him by his old name. His name that he was originally given. Jacob. Let's go back to the beginning of the story, Jacob. And he said, here I am. How many of you know that if he calls your name, you better respond? It's a good idea, everybody. It's a good idea. Then he said, I am God. Watch how he addresses himself. He announces himself here. The God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. And that land of Goshen, that's at the northeastern edge of Egypt. For there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt. Isn't that part of our fear that if we go, he's not going to go with us? Isn't that part of our fear? Come on, it's all good and copacetic right here. Why would I want to leave here? Even though oftentimes we despise the here of our lives, even though we don't always think that the here is so great, we still in our imagination think that here is better than there. Come on, are you with me this morning, everybody? I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again in Joseph's hand, your son, the one that you're going to be reunited with. We still haven't gotten to that point yet. He shall close your eyes. Come on, some of you right now in your life, you are standing at a crossroads. And you cannot or you will not journey any further. There is just no more strength within you. There is no more motivation. There is no more hope. There is no more inspiration within your life. You are struggling. You see everything that's before you, and you believe that your best days are behind you. There is a God that is declaring over your life, as you stand at the crossroads, this is the way, walk ye in it. He will declare it over your life. But there are some of you who literally cannot, will not, based upon the fortitude that's there. There is not enough of a trickle or supply to get to the theirs of your life, even if it's a land of plenty like Goshen. Come on, where Jacob was, he's content to stay there, but he's in a land of famine. Some of you are in a land of famine, and you have deceived yourself into thinking that the here in the place of famine is better than the risk of going there to the Goshen that God wants you to go to establish your life. God wants to do that. So where do we start? You cannot, will not go. Where do you start? You start in worship. And not worship like you just throw your hands up and you sing the latest, greatest song. Like you worship with a desperation. A worship like Jacob saw in his grandfather Abraham when he is told by God to lay down the son of the promise, Isaac. How many of you remember that story? Let me retell it for just a moment. Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, was known as the father of faith. And he's known as the father of faith because of this divine moment that takes place. Abraham, one particular day, he's eating his oatmeal in his tent, and God speaks to him, I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. And Abraham's like, we waited a long time for this son. I didn't have him until I was 100 years old. I waited. I'd already shortchanged that process. God, remember Hagar and Ishmael? God's like, I remember Hagar and Ishmael. I remember you shortchanged what my plan was. But I gave you a child of the promise anyway. And Abraham had to be thinking, then why would you want to take my son? Why would you want me to sacrifice him? Abraham, just trust me. And there's this incredible moment that takes place next. That after Abraham gets the word to sacrifice his son, literally to get fire and wood and lay it all out, and instead of a ram or a lamb, lay his own son as an offering before God. How messed up does that sound? To lay down his only son. And not just that it's his son, it's the son of the proverbial promise over him and the entire nation. The scripture says that early the next morning, Abraham got up. And then it continues. And they journey up this mountain. Come on, how many of you know that Abraham, there's no way he wanted to do that. There had to be a limited will within him to want to do that. How he was able to do it in the first place is astounding. And what he does is he turns to the servant that's accompanying them. And he turns to the servant and he says, wait here while I and the boy go to, come on, help me, to worship. How many know that was not Sunday morning worship? How many know that wasn't, I got to get to church worship? How many know that's desperation in our worship? Come on, there are certain places that you are facing. You got to go to a whole other level in your desperation. You need to be able to tell God, I cannot, I will not, but I'm here to worship you anyway. Come on, there are certain places you need to be more desperate than you are. Certain places where we tell other people what's going on, we need to go ahead and pour out our complaint before God. Come on, there are certain places we have still been content to make it horizontal. We've been content to be able to just see it, to be able to taste it, to touch it, to feel it. And God is saying, no, come on, bring it to me, I can handle it. Bring it as worship, bring it as desperation, bring it as expectation. God wants to meet you in those places where you cannot and you will not, in the crossroads of life. Begins in worship. To lay your heart out before God. To go, I don't know what's going next. But I'm frail, I'm feeble, and I might be faithless. But I'll start in worship because you still are God and God alone. And I don't always pretend to know where you're going, God. I don't have you figured out yet. But I'll start in just worship. I'll pour my heart out. And I want more of you. And I want more of your heart than your hand. And I'm going to start there and just direct my path, God. Even though the path might wander and meander, I'm with you, God, through the turns. Come on, there's some of you that are going through some hellacious things. And my heart breaks for you, but more than that, and so much greater than that, you need to know your God's heart is broken, and let His broken heart fill you. Come on, the scripture says in the book of Zephaniah that He longs to quiet you with His love. He longs to rejoice over you with His singing over your life. Some of you need to carve out some precious time. And the more desperate the circumstance, the more desperate our worship, the more we need to congregate with Him than to isolate from Him. Come on, there's some of you desperately, you need to start just beginning to worship. Come on, you need Thursday midnight kind of worship, not Sunday morning worship. Come on, somebody. We got to elevate that sense of expectation. You need direction. You need discernment. Come on, it starts in preparation. And Jacob has to go back to a point that he remembers his own grandfather calling upon the Lord, calling on his own name as Jacob. Jacob, and going back to that place to go, I've seen the desperation. I've seen the worship and what God did as he goes to a place that he didn't even know. And he's commanded to sacrifice his son. The faithfulness of God is matched by my faith in a great God. You see, God will reveal his promises. Come on, I don't know if you saw this, but God says, I am and I will, with great redundancy in this passage. Anybody catch that as we read it? He says over your life, I am and I will. Come on, I will make. This is who your God is. Your God is the one that is the giver of every good and perfect gift. You're the God, you serve a God that doesn't change like shifting shadows. You serve a God that is here before and he will be after. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of every good thing that we have. He declares over you, I am and I will. Come on. And here's what he begins to say to him specifically based upon those general statements. The first is, he speaks posterity into his life. The book of Psalms says it this way, regarding from the other angle, that one generation will commend his works to the next. Here God is bringing the reciprocal. He is saying in this respect, go back to the way it was in the faith of your fathers. Come on, even there are some of you today, you have been prayed in based upon a praying grandmother. Come on, there's some of you, you had a faithful aunt. You had a mentor of sorts that poured into you even before you wanted to know God. There were certain people along the way that God wants to remind you, not just of the faith that God wants to bring into your life, unto legacy. He wants to remind you, you're a child of posterity, that those people that have gone before you have cleared a path for you to be able to find Jesus easily. Are you with me this morning? Come on, even if you didn't come from a household of faith, there have been certain people that God, by his providential care and concern in your life, have put directly into your path, and they were instrumental to get you to a point where you'd want to say yes to God. He has been faithful. Come on, he has been. Come on, some of you need to see that through the lineage of your life. Tim did a good job of pointing us to that this morning in his own story. There are certain places that God has established within our lives. He has been faithful. We need to take notice of you are faithful in that point. You are faithful there. And so even as I stand in a crossroads and I might have in my spirit, I cannot, will not, I will and I can, because he's already proven faithful in my life to this point. Come on, there's a spirit of posterity that God wants to speak into your life. And then secondly, and we're going to go all pee on you this morning, prosperity this morning. Come on, but not a hyper one, not a health, wealth, and prosperity, but a biblical one that declares over Jacob and over you that he longs to make you into a great nation. Do you believe that? That he wants your people to be a great people. Come on, we live way below what God wants in our lives. Who we are dating, lottery tickets of sorts, whether they be literal or proverbial, in our speech. Listen, we are better than how we are living. We've been saved for better. Those of you that are walking with God, you and I, we are called to something that's greater, of deeper capacity, of higher elevation. God is wanting to bring a prosperity, not just to us, but through us, because it'll be a testimony of his grace and his greatness through our lives. Come on, you need to know that you serve a God that is rich in glory, rich in resources. Come on, it surpasses all that we could understand. You and I need to understand he longs to make us prosperous because it's a testimony of his glory at work within our lives. Come on, not one that we're all going to be sporting crazy fancy rings. No, not that kind of prosperity. Not a prosperity that points to us, a prosperity that directs people to go, there is a faithfulness of God that is evident in that life of a believer. Come on. Number three is that it's presence. I told you it'd be a lot of pee. It just came out of the pages for me. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. There's a presence. Come on. Isn't that what we're afraid of too often? God says, I know you're afraid. It's pretty risky to take a journey to 130 years old. You might break a leg just trying to get into the chariot that we sent for you. myself. Look, I announce, I myself. I myself will go with you. Come on, he's not just speaking that over Jacob. He's speaking that over you this morning. I myself will go with. Jacob's up and going, come on, can't you come and get me? No, no. I want you to go to where the blessing is. Come on, stop being content with the trickle of the faucet. Go to where the supply is, somebody. Come on. The great theologians, The Clash, said it this way, should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. If I go, there will be. Anybody? Come on, some of you know, you just don't want to say it in church. If I go, there will be double. So come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go? Come on. You should go to the places that God has for your life. Come on, constantly in our lives we see, please hear me on this. Some of you go, no, but Pastor Scott, don't you understand, like in certain places in the Psalms it says to rest? Yeah, but not indefinitely. To rest in God so we will be restored. To rest in God so we'll be refreshed. To rest in God so we will be recharged for the next mission that He has for our lives. There are too many times that we rest in Him to a point that it becomes sloth. While we're resting, He is giving us a new strategy to be able to go back in. Come on, if it was just resting, then you would rest in peace. Come on, somebody. But He is saying, I don't want you to grow weary in doing good, but He's not one to stop doing good. And there are too many times that, watch this, as we only rest, we stop doing the good that He's called us to do. And the people that stop doing the good they've been called to do begin to revert back to the bad, the evil that they were not called to do. Y'all with me on that? Come on. We need to rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But how many of you know that you can rest and move at the same time? Come on, there are places He wants to hide us under the shadow of the Almighty, but He's moving. He's going. He's a God that is on the move. And the Scripture says that in Him we live and move and have our being. And there are places that God wants you to rest your weary soul, but as you're resting, now, as you're finished that rest, what's going to be next within your life? And too many times, we're like those that they go up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and they go, this is a great place staying up here on the mountain. Can't we just stay? And Jesus says, no, because I've called you not just to be, but I've called you to do. And so, yeah, we rest easy in Him, but at the same time, as we step out and we begin to do, we're not leaving Him behind. He is announcing here, I myself will be with you. Don't think that as you begin to go back to your doing and go back to your being, that you've now left Him behind. Come on, He is in you. Come on, He is in you. Do we believe that He's only hovering out and so the only time we can find Him is if we hide under the cleft of a rock? Or do we truly believe that He is in us and we can rest and do and be simultaneously because He is calling us to go to the places that He has where His presence is leading out and leading us to? Then there's an interesting statement here, and He says, I will bring you up again. And there's a twofold promise. One is He's saying over Jacob, literally, I get it, Jacob, that you're nearing the end of your life. But there's going to be this incredible moment where you're reunited with your son. And I want to orchestrate that for you. You haven't seen him in 22 years. I want to bring that back to be. That you're reunited with him. I know in all of your striving, that's what matters to you. And I'll bring you to the place that after you see him, then your physical body, you will be laid back to rest in the land from which you have come, in the land of Canaan. Y'all tracking me on that? You will be brought back. Your life will be out, but your earthly tabernacle, I know that's important to you. You will be brought back into the land of Canaan. That's where you will be buried. That's what that means. But he's also saying this. It's a future promise that's in here. The future promise is, for a few generations, the people of God stay in Egypt. How many of you are aware of that part of the story? They stay in Egypt for a while. In fact, they begin to be, in the next couple generations, the people forget about what God had done through Joseph in that time frame. In the next few generations, while they're in Egypt, many of the people begin to turn away from God. Simultaneously, they become a powerful group, even though they're in captivity in Egypt. They don't have any of their own land. They're literally treated as servants or as slaves. And they become as numerous as about 3 million people. And a few generations later, a new Pharaoh would say over them, we have to figure out how to contain them. It is in that promise that God is saying here, I will bring you back. I will bring you back out of captivity into a place of your own land, your own culture, into your own freedom. Did I make sense on explaining that this morning? He is saying, it's not just that you're going to be laid to rest, your physical earthly tabernacle. I will bring your entire people up, bring you up again. It's the same way Dick Foth, this great quote, says about Jesus. Jesus saying over our lives, I'm going to leave my place. I'm going to come to your place. I'm going to take your place, and then we're going to go back to my place. This is the mission of what Jesus has accomplished. And so he is saying even over your life, even though you have to go to certain places that you maybe right now will not, cannot, as you do it, the faithfulness of God will bring you back to the places that are still in your heart, that are within your desire. God wants to do that. So even though there's a change of location, he will bring it back again. And then finally, he longs to bring a peace. Joseph's hands will close your eyes. I have a confession to make this morning. Even though I know the Lord, there is within me a fear to die. Anybody else have that within their life? And I think it's twofold. I think one is, as I'm starting to get older, I realize that I've passed halftime. That really haunts me from an accomplishment standpoint. It haunts me from an aspect of, have I done what you've called me to? There's that spiritual aspect. There's that calling aspect. Can anybody identify with that? And you get to a certain point, you start to kind of reason or articulate, like have I done all that I need to do? I remember when I hit 40, it was really almost traumatic for me because I realized I had passed halfway. There's also an aspect of, if I'll just confess it, of the anticipation of how I would die. Whether the suffering, the goodbyes of family, will it be sudden, will it be extreme, all that anticipation. And I have to be careful that it doesn't consume me, because otherwise, while you're alive, you can live as if you're dead. And there's some of you from other angles have done the same thing. Jacob, in all of his striving, really struggled with living fully. He was almost always after everybody else's life. He was never content. It was always this strive. And there was always this aspect of he was never comfortable in his own skin. He's always struggling to live his best life. It was almost like he wanted to live somebody else's life. He wanted to live vicariously through somebody else. So he didn't live the fullness of what God has for him. And there comes a point, and I won't do all this now, but if you look at a character study of Jacob, you'll see that at some point in that, he loses hope. He loses this aspect of that, especially when Joseph is taken from him, and he had just cleared 100 years old at that point. And you see that all hope was lost in his life, and he begins to live as if he was dead. Now God is proclaiming a peace over him, where there was always this striving, where there was always this desire for significance, success, accomplishment, achievement. I'm now speaking peace over you. The greatest thing that I'm going to establish in you is you'll be reunited with your son. That's where your heart is. He's the one who gave the coat of many colors to. He's the one that when you saw that bloody coat, your own heart was ripped out. I'm going to reunite. I'm going to bring that back. And at that point, then that son, he'll close your eyes. He'll be in the presence of you. You'll have a tender moment, and you'll gently go into that good night. And God, I believe, wants to speak some of that peace into your own life. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I needed this passage as I studied this past week. But I'm imagining I'm probably not the only one. That some of the end of days, of how things might go, starting to order some of your next steps, you're not living fully in the moments God has called you to now. And it's causing you to be afraid to go to the next place because you only associate it as risk. And you wonder where the safety net is. So God wants to bring peace. Jesus said this over your life. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. But you can have peace in the knowing. Peace in the knowing. There might be a fear in death, but all is well today. Amen? Let me move on. So the next portion. There's this interesting aspect of that Jacob decides to go. And the next few verses show all that he brings in the way of gear and of people. Then you get to this portion in verse 28. J- Jacob had sent Judah ahead, one of the sons, the firstborn, to Joseph and to show the way before him. Now watch the repetition here. In Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father. Come on, everybody. Come on. Once more with feeling, shall we? In Goshen. Thank you very much. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on him a good while. Come on, this is an incredible reunion. Come on, they hadn't seen each other in more than 2 decades. When you ever gone to family reunions and you reunite with one of your favorite cousins, you know, where are the years gone? You just drape yourself on your favorite aunt and you go, I'm sorry, it's been so long, auntie. Imagine those types of moments and then this type of magnitude. That they see one another, and it's the epitome of emotion. Jacob or Israel says to him, now watch, this is so good. Now let me die, I'm prepared for it. For I have seen your face and know that you are still alive. It took a while. He was slow to believe. Come on, there's certain things that God wants to do within your life and you are slow to believe it. You're slow to believe it, slow to receive it. And God wants to bring it into your life, that He longs for you to have a reunion with Him, not just in heaven, but a reunion on this side. There's the repetition that God wants to bring into your own life in those places. Come on, I'm establishing it in the Goshen of your life. I'm establishing it in the place of fertility rather than of famine. Come on, a place of prosperity rather than of poverty. God is speaking those things into your life. He's presenting it into your life. He is okay with the emotion. He's okay with the fullness of it. He will go beyond our distrust, beyond our fear, beyond our deception, beyond our striving, beyond our favoritism, our unrest, our warring spirit, and He will carry us. I love this quote from D.L. Moody. Let's see if you can wrap your brain around this. This is a good thought. I was all the time tugging and carrying water, but now I have a river that carries me. Come on, out of you springs streams of living water. Come on, He's not just out there. Come on, when God says my presence will be with you, He's not saying, you know, I'll be the little angel on your shoulder, like cartoonish. Come on, He is in us. Come on, and that in us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. The Prince of Peace in us. The Holy Comforter in us. The Wonderful Counselor in us. The Almighty God in us. Come on. His strength, His sustenance, His stronghold in our lives. Come on. He is our Defender. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Author and Finisher of our faith. Come on. Come on, there are certain places you don't want to go to, but God is preparing the way. He is establishing, and you know what they are right now. You know what some of those places are where you hedge your bets. You'll risk in other areas, but you have become more valuing of safety than of risk. You value saying, even if He says to go, and God is calling you to go to the place that He has for you. There are some of you, you've been in the faith for a while, and I echo what Tim said as we move to close this morning. Worship team would come help me. Can we go back to what a beautiful name? Can we do that? Echo what Tim had shared earlier as he spoke on water baptism. Well, water baptism is a celebration of that now the water is carrying us. We don't have to carry the water anymore. Come on. It's a celebration of it. And there are some of you that maybe you've never been baptized in water and it freaks you out. It's one of the go places that God has for you. And I have seen it time and time again when people celebrate the water that's within them, the saving, gracious waters that God has brought into our life. When we celebrate it and we're willing to be plunged into that water in the tank behind me and then come up out, it is this symbolism. It is a sealing to seal that we are now new creations. Behold, the old is gone. And some of you haven't gone to that point. And if you're not willing to go to that point of water baptism, it could be an indicator, a marker, why you're not willing to go with Him in some other places. Why you're not willing to follow Him in certain places. It's a first step. It's a first stop along the way. not because it's pageantry, not because there's some type of mantra associated with it, none of what we say in the moment. It's not a practical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And it shows this humility, and it shows this risk of, I trust God that as I'm plunged underneath, my hair gets all wet, and I wonder how I'll look flailing out of the water. Reminding myself that your life in me, it's to be celebrated. I'm nothing without you. I couldn't have gotten to this point without you, and so I celebrate your saving grace in my life. And there's some of you desperately need to be baptized in water. And maybe you started to waver and you need to be rebaptized. Because you need to go back to that place, back to that Jacob, here I am, Lord. Some of you might need to go back to that place. In fact, Tim showed us on the app. You could download the app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I encourage you to do so. If you have, you can sign up for the class. We have a class next week. Tony, you're leading that, right? In between the two services, right? Tony has written an incredible lesson on water baptism. It's brilliant. It is so good what Tony wrote to help prepare you to eliminate fear, to write out your testimony, right, Tony? You'll do all of that. You can ask questions. And if you go to that class, doesn't mean you have to follow through, but it's a great start. And some of you need to be baptized in water because it honors God. It celebrates what He has done. And it's a witness to the people around you to know there is a God of greatness and faithfulness. And He is worthy to be praised. So you can sign up for that class on the app, or you can do it at the Welcome Center today. There are some of you that need to pray along with me to this end, if you'd bow your heads with me. All across this place, I'm going to read a prayer over your life, but I want you to pray it along with me in your own spirit. Lord, I'm not just saved by you, but I want to be set in you. Like Jacob, there are pressure points where I revert. I go back to the old nature. I need to be in you and you in me. Help me to have the courage to follow through specifically to be baptized in water. To fully and finally say, I'm a new creation because of you. Behold, the old is gone and now is the new. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Secondly, maybe there's some of you who've never actually asked Christ to be in your life. You've never asked Him to be in your life. Maybe you've been one of church attendance, maybe you've been in and out, maybe come from other movements, other perspectives. But God wants you to stop carrying the water over and over again. God wants you to be carried on the water. For some of you, you are weary, and it's because you're without faith, without Jesus. Some students in here, maybe you go to youth, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need the supply in you. And there's some of you today who need to receive Jesus as your supply and as your salvation. Just like I led you in a prayer regarding water baptism, I want to do the same unto salvation. There's some of you, you need to utter this type of phrasing in your own life, to speak it over your own life this morning. Lord, lead me out. I will follow. Lord, save me. I give up control. I need your forgiveness, your love, your salvation, your supply. Give me faith to believe in what you did for me. You died for me. You came back to life again for me so that streams of living water and abounding supply be resident always in me. So save me, take me. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. And amen. There's some of you that prayed that prayer. Some of you that prayed the water baptism prayer. There's some of you that just need a closer walk with Him this morning. I dare each and every one of you today to symbolically come closer, that in your closeness at the altar, you are saying, Lord, in the invitation that you have specifically in my life, I am going to Goshen today. I leave behind my will not, cannot. I leave behind my old age. I leave behind my weariness. I leave behind my distrust. I take a first step towards you. And although nothing magical happens at the altar, I symbolically take a step from where I am, of my here, and I go to there because you can lead me out. Lord, today I make a decision. I'm going to Goshen. Will you be there? Will you be there? I encourage each and every one of you to respond this morning. Let's linger in His presence at the altar. Let's just be worshipers this morning as we seal this day. Lord, we worship Your name and Your nature today. Come on, would you all come? Let's all stand together. Make it easier to even to move. Would you build an altar where you are? But even better yet, would you all just come as they begin to open their mouths to sing? Come on, let's celebrate Him. Let's worship Him this morning. He was the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.